Hi, I'm David Shevers.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today. From the house doctor to the rock professor, today's groundbreakers are here on Radio Today.
Welcome to another edition of A Place Called Melville. You're with Marla Imond and Alistair Graham. And we've got a whole bunch of new bohemians on the show today. Right?
We've got some bohemians coming in too. I don't know if they think regard themselves as bohemians. Maybe they're 19th century bohemians.
They could be.
Yeah.
And then we've got a new bohemian.
No, we've got a... I love it that bloggers have become personalities and authorities.
Yes.
and we do have one of those. We've got Laura Kate Bardewell.
And quite interesting to hear a view of Melville. And then the... Well, let's not say any more. Let's go straight into our interview with Lauren Kate.
There we are with Lauren Kate Bardewell, who's a blogger, and we've come to talk to her about what she does, what she's been doing in Melville, actually, and she's been talking about this on her blog, or blogging about it on her blog. Welcome to A Place Called Melville.
Hi.
It really sounds very interesting what you get.
It does. What's your blog called again?
So my blog is called Kate Loves.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is it Kate Hart or Kate with or Kate Loves?
Kate Loves.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. All right, and now you did a wonderful blog that lots of people noticed, even other bloggers noticed,
yes, yeah,
and other photographers noticed, so obviously you're quite good with your camera.
I hope so.
And you went all over Melville, and you even produced a map. You were so impressed with what you did. But tell us how it all happened and what you did.
Okay, so I moved up to Joburg about just over a year now, and I just realized that people were going to malls and staying in their cars and going to a braai rather than actually exploring what Joburg has to offer.
Yeah.
And I thought Melville would be a great place to start this concept I had called Where I Walk. It's about getting...
And you wear high tops as well.
Yes.
You're walking.
Yeah, so I actually Converse sponsored it. And I got four pairs of All-Stars of my choice. And I chose the bright pink ones for Melville. Because it's bohemian and fun.
Yeah.
I just walked around Melville.
Did you do it all off your own bat? You just went off on your own and you just sort of trailed and thought, okay, well, here I'm turning right. Let's make a little mark on the map.
Well, actually, I asked one of my friends who's lived in Melville for the past 7 years to walk me around. Walk around Melville with me and show me like her perceptions of it and her views of it.
Good. Okay.
Which was really fun.
Yeah, exactly. And where did you start and what did you find most interesting?
Okay.
Were there any surprises first of all?
Yes. So we started at her house, which is near 4th Street, which led on to 4th Avenue and then eventually to 7th.
Oh, yes. Oh,
so we did like a little zigzag. And I thought Melville was so surprising.
The churches.
There's quite a lot of beautiful
churches on that corner where you must have started.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Melville is just such a beautiful area. And I love that it's an historical village almost.
It's very old.
Yeah, very historical. But at the same time, it offers so many contemporary spots. And it's constantly growing as its own suburb, which really fascinates me.
And how did you find stomping around there in your Converse?
It was amazing. I loved it.
And then what were your first impressions? Okay, so you left the churches.
I just kept thinking, like, I want to live here.
Oh,
I want to, like, be able to have this lifestyle where I just walk down to the cafe, have my coffee, grab a book from the secondhand bookstore, and have that laid-back, beautiful lifestyle, very kind of European.
Yes, and I guess that's why all those guest houses are there, because they're full of those very people.
Yes, exactly.
Or walking around. Well, hopefully you'll be walking around following your example, too, because if there's a map...
Yes. So what I did was I found a map on the internet and I was able to change it enough, give it a little, like a more trendy edge, like blue and grey.
And
Google it. And in a PDF form so anyone could print it.
Yeah.
And I made little markers of where the cool spots are.
Oh, really?
And the actual roads that I walked on so that someone could print it and do it themselves.
Okay, give me a cool spot.
I like,
shop or
I think there's so many restaurants. That's what is amazing about Melville. Like Creme de la Creme is so beautiful with its cakes.
Nice,
but then you've got Leopard, which is amazing for like drinks and going out at night.
Yeah. And it's the best bistro in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, so you did mostly Fourth Avenue and 7th Street,
yes,
I would say.
Yeah.
And did you walk all the way along and then up and then back again? Did you
I just went through the suburbs, just walked past beautiful houses. And funnily enough, my friend that lives there, she was friends with graffiti artists, so she showed me some of their, like, secret works.
Oh, wonderful. but that's very interesting,
too.
Yeah. So we sort of treasure some of our graffiti. Yeah.
And some of them were really meaningful to her because it was about the people that she had grown up with in Melville.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And Rusty, the famous graffiti guy, is also from Melville originally.
Oh, yes,
So he's
some very interesting...
He started...
How long did this take you?
I spent hours, to be honest.
Oh, good. Well, you certainly must have, because you took some fine shots along the way. I wish we had those on air. They're really beautiful.
Oh,
very nice pictures. I love the pictures of you walking and on your own feet.
Yeah. I take way too many pictures on my feet.
And what would you recommend for people to do? Is it people of all ages, people of your age group?
So I think Melville offers something different for everyone. So for young people, it would be an amazing night to remember, honestly, on 7th Street. Just like going, trying out different pizzas, different wines.
That's a good idea, yes.
Like even if you're jumping around and then end up somewhere crazy for coffee at whatever time in the morning.
So people could use your map for different times of the day.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
You mentioned the day, of course, I noticed.
Yes.
Yeah. So you did the coffee route and the book route, the antiques route, probably.
and I love that Melville has so many secondhand stores.
Yeah.
Bounty Hunters. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some serious gems in there.
Oh, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, so there really is something.
Lots of cats as well.
Yeah, too many. I actually asked the owner how many cats she has, and she estimated around about 109
You're
cats.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Including kittens that were arriving that day.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, I'm always rescuing little kittens running into the street and putting them on the pavement, but they run straight back.
Oh, no.
I know, it's
the
cats
are
normal.
Yeah. That would be a whole different vlog.
Yeah, I think it's the cats just of that establishment.
Yeah,
even.
Probably.
Well, that's fantastic. And did you meet anybody that you recognized along the way?
Not really, but strangely enough, I was walking in the street with my friend and this other blogger just happened to be there and she asked us, can I take a picture of you guys? And she's we're like, sure thing.
Which blogger was that?
I can't actually remember offhand, but she has a blog where she takes pictures of people on the streets.
Oh, I see.
And she asks them like really deep questions.
Ooh,
like, what is important, what is the most important thing to you in your life? Those kind of questions.
Is that what she asked you?
Yes.
What did you say?
I actually just said my faith.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Gosh. Heavens. Well, certainly, you must have attracted a lot of attention wandering around Melbourne because you're very tall and look like a model. So, I guess. Most of us look a bit more grungy around there.
my friend that I was with, she had beautiful dreads and really amazing tattoos, so I'm sure she attracted some attention as well.
I will find out afterwards who she is. We probably know her too. Gosh, thank you very much for coming along and for coming on to a place called Melville and also for telling us about this, because I think it's a brilliant idea. But you'll have to tell us your blog again.
So my blog is kateloves.co.za, and it's about exploring Joburg and seeing all that it has to offer.
Excellent. And a lot of those nice things happen to be in Melbourne.
Yes.
So, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Now let's listen to a track by Carlo Mambelli from his album Terry, but it's called Downpipe Gutterbow.
From the house doctor to the rock professor, today's groundbreakers are here on Radio Today.
We're back in the studio with Morale Imond and Alistair Graham on the show A Place Called Melville. I wonder how many listeners remember that interview we had with Carlo Mambelli and his toys.
Well, I know you'll never forget it.
Oh, I'll never forget. There's one track on his album that I really wanted to play, but it'll be out of context of the show. But he uses a lot of his beep boop things that he played with us in.
It was the kid's toy. Yeah,
that's right.
And the cheese grater.
That's right. And he uses a lot of them in one of his tracks. But I thought, no, we can't really use that here. Anyway, on with the show.
In the studio, we have Andrea and Anne-Marie. And, well, okay. Andrea Rolfs and Anne-Marie Tully, and they're going to tell us about... Welcome to A Place Called Melville, first of all.
I'm wondering about that.
a kind of salon, an art salon, like a salon privé, I suppose, from the 18th century. Mm-hmm. So do tell us how that works.
Okay, well, basically it was something that we started talking about a while ago.
Sounds such fun.
Yeah, and it is, and I've always had this thing about it. I remember when I first saw it when I was studying art and oh, yes, two lectures, yeah. And, you know, this idea of the salon, the space packed floor to ceiling.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's,
and I was very taken really with that idea of really a packed space full of art, you know, with frames next to frames going all the way up.
Oh, brilliant.
In fact, I'll just give you a little history. In the salons began, you know, quite a lot earlier on in the 18th century.
When people were wearing long, big crinolines and things.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And big white hairdressers and so forth. And of course it came about, it was a post-revolution thing.
Oh, was it
came
French?
About when, yeah, French post-revolution thing that came about, as far as I understand, from the end of the revolution when the palaces and so forth were open. And so it became a space then to become for the people and so forth. But, I think it had always kind of been there as an exhibition venue. And then they used to really pack them up.
Pack the paintings in.
But it was really the
crinoline.
They had these sort of academic, like later on Ruskin would have been one of these people in the 19th century and so forth, these sort of academic aesthetes, you know, who would go there. And they were really the committees who would decide what made it into the salons.
Oh, I see.
And so by the time we get to the sort of mid-19th century, it's become very conservative, it's very classical in its orientation. Yes, they want a certain kind
of
thing.
And then you got the breakaway ones.
Yeah, and then there was a demand really from, and Napoleon III in fact set it up.
Yeah,
he set up the whole thing, and there was a demand for like a secondary space or a space for alternative kinds of work to be shown, and so we get the Salon de Refusés, which
It was a nice thing. Exactly. And so is yours a refusé?
No, what do we have? Good question.
Is it a refusé? I don't know.
Andrew, tell us, how many artists? I mean, you two obviously quite very good artists. Now, let's see, who else is there? Are there other people involved too?
There are about 40 people.
Oh, really?
No, it's really packed.
Yeah. I mean, does somebody get the ceiling and say, well, that's nice?
Yeah, we're going to the ceiling. Except in the bamboo space, you won't need binoculars to see it because in the old salons you had to look through binoculars.
I bet. Yeah, exactly.
We will hang binoculars just so that you can pretend to look.
But this sounds so cool. It sounds as though you're doing some detail work which will give give everybody the idea. I mean, can we dress up?
Please do. But I think one of the things that we would like to do is sort of to offset the contemporary against this aesthetic of the 19th century.
Which is brilliant.
To have very contemporary work, quite some of it quite shocking work, or
wonderful.
Not twee kind of work that might be easy to look at.
Nipples and all.
And more like, and that brings me on to another historical thing which I love from the Salons de Refusés, is when Manet actually exhibited his Olympia painting of the,
the
well-known prostitutes in the town, and all the other guys in their little top hats. The bourgeoisie came through with their sticks and they got very offended because she was looking back at them, and they actually knew her. Ooh. Like, how dare a painting look back at you when you should be the voyeur of it?
Exactly.
You know? And they attacked it with their sticks, you know. So we hope to put some controversy in there.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, wow. This is
better. Throw it together.
And the controversy starts on Friday.
Yes,
on Friday.
So it'll be what time do I get there for the controversial bits?
The preview is on Friday at 2.
And then
so that's the preview of the privé.
Yeah, the privé.
And then when does the entree of the privé start?
On Saturday
really?
At 12, but it's opens at 9. I mean 10.
But 19th century or 18th century drinks at 12?
Yes, 18th absolutely. 18th century at 12. Please join us.
That sounds brilliant.
Come and soiree at the salon.
and can you give us some names? Who we've got on the...
Yes.
On the ceilings and the walls and the floors.
All over the place. Okay, so we have quite a nice range of artists. We've got some very well established artists like Wilma Cruz.
Okay.
You know, a beautiful, beautiful horse sculpture by her, which I think should just somebody
that
should just rush
well
it and grab it.
Yeah.
And we've got another group of artists. I'll just read a few names. Colleen Albra, Angela Banks, Tanisha Barner, Bongi Bengu, Stephen Bosch, Elizabeth Davison. Suzanne Erasmus, Bronwyn Finley, Gordon Sue Kaplan, John Moore.
And did you give them a theme?
No. This is
you just said naughty.
Exactly. No, not at all. They all are.
No,
you haven't seen the horse yet. When you come to see the horse, it has a hooded horseman.
Yeah.
Really?
It's very naughty.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. No, but I think the way this works is that we want it to be really a commercial platform for artists to exhibit work that they have. Yeah. So not working with themes. The theme is the salon.
So they're not painting to the studio.
No,
they're
this is work that they're hand collections or that they're busy with at the time. They propose works to us. We have a look through it. We think about other works we have on the show, and we make selections of work. And then we give each artist, you know, depending on the scale of works or the size, sculptural pieces, etc., we give them, you know, an option.
And did you allow Andrea to have her husband in there?
Yes, he is.
Is he really?
Yeah, but that's
it. Yeah,
with his fantastic digital prints.
Unbelievable.
Gosh. So it's a in between space that we're hoping to create, something a bit liminal, you know, where works can come that are in studios that are just sitting there or that are waiting between shows and just come together and not have thematic constraints, really be about what each person's practice is. So we've been quite careful to get biographies from everyone and to be able to speak to buyers. And then also, I mean, just coming back to the commercial side, to try and allow it to be something that's not overpriced, you know. So really working with artist prices and very small commissions for us. So not the gallery commissions, because the costs are lower for us.
And that sounds
such
fun, though. Yeah. That's fantastic. And I suppose people can also go and have a quiz on Facebook.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a very nice Salon One Facebook page.
I believe it's quite subscribed.
Yes,
your Facebook
likes. Nearly 300 likes.
Nearly viral.
Make us viral.
And how long are you planning to run it for? And okay, I've got a lot of questions. Yeah.
This one is
probably 35 days because we don't have that much longer.
Okay.
5 days.
Oh, five important days. Yeah. Okay, good.
So they're pop-up shops.
Yes.
It pops up and it pops away.
That's right. And are you trying to set a precedent? Yeah.
Yes, and what we'd like to do is, this is Salon 1, meaning that there'll be Salon 2, Salon 3, Salon 4.
Yes. And we'd like Son of and all of that.
Yes, many.
Daughter of.
It's going to be sowing its seeds everywhere.
Very prolific.
And do you think that you'll be using the same venue? Because the venue is the Bamboo.
Yes, well,
so it's the gallery upstairs at the Bamboo.
Well, I mean, suffice to say, it will be one of the venues that we would like to frequent, because I think it's a lovely space and it has a good good artistic vibe.
I know Melville's a perfect place for that kind of thing, for breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Melville always says they were the first people to do this, to do that. So now they'll be the first people to do this also.
Salon. Yes, Salon One.
Exactly.
The child of Melville. That's it. So that'll be great. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on to A Place Called Melville. I can't wait for this myself, so I guess lots of other people are going to be keen on it too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we hope you all come and support the artists.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank you for having us on.
Five people. Yeah. No, we've got six. Oh, I'm not counting me. We've got six. So that's 306 people.
Yeah, get there early.
That's right. And get there around about 12 if you want those fantastic
18th century
classic drinks.
Yeah. Indeed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take another track from Carlo Mombelli from the same album, Theory, and this track is titled Theory.
Oh, that's easy.
Thank you.
switch on to 1485 AM Radio Today.
And that's exactly where we are at Radio Today, with a place called Melville, and we are Alistair Graham and Marie Lehmond. Alistair is going to tell us about the Bamboo Farmers Market, because that's where we were on Saturday.
Of course, and it's on at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you haven't been there, you really have to go there. It's a really nice bunch of people and nice things that you can get there.
I think the nicest thing about it is that if you buy fresh organic vegetables, they're cheaper than if you buy inorganic ones in the supermarket.
which is not always the case, but it's really
it's
nice to see that.
It's certainly the case there. And, you know, they've also got that wonderful bread. And I know lots of guys who don't eat, you know, who are doing all this noke stuff, buy the bread because it's got no flour and things in it. It's made with seeds only. But, my gosh, is it delicious.
Really nice. And whilst you're wandering around deciding what to get, grab a cup of coffee, a cappuccino. Good idea. Then on Sunday, 3-hour hike on the Melville Copy Central, parking opposite the entrance at Marks Park Sports Club, Judith Road, Emerentia. Adults, R50, children, R20. Bring or make sure you're kitted out in proper walking shoes, hat, sunblock, water, and a snack if you need it. The program covers everything on the copy. Ask questions, they'll be only happy to tell you all about it.
Everything on the copy and inside it.
That's right.
Because it's lots of archaeology and geology too. Now on Wednesday, wow, this is Lauren Birkus. Well, we are lucky. At Love Books. It's at 6 o'clock for 6:30. There's going to be a huge crush. Kate's already said that. So book. And I'll tell you now, before I even tell you the rest of it, where to book. It's Kate, K-A-T-E, at lovebooks.co.za. Now, people call her the rock star author, but I think she's the Skyfire author, Lauren Birkus, and her new novel is called Broken Monsters. So she'll be chatting with Michelle Magwood from the Sunday Times. And I don't know if people know about the Love Books literary punch card, which is one of those reward cards. But it's a super
loyalty
thing.
Card.
Yeah,
oh,
super,
good idea.
Super thing for books.
Mm.
And 10 punches gets you a 10% discount on a nice expensive book.
That's
now, the
nice.
Lighthouse is also every night of the week, but on Monday nights it's specifically comedy night, and on Tuesday night it's film screenings and stuff, mostly documentaries. On Wednesdays they have their drama, and depends what goes with that. I think drama also sometimes goes with poetry. And on Thursdays, artists' night, and sometimes jazz.
Right, for any more information on Melville, please contact 072-305-0281. You've only got a short few shows
you
left to do this.
Us quickly, because
yeah,
before we disappear into the ether.
That's right, because we're going to show 150. That's going to be our last show. We're going to take a break from then. So please contact 072-305-0281. Thanks for being with us. And remember, the show's podcast will be available from 7 p.m. tonight. You can pick it up on Radio Today's website, www.1485.org.za. Until next week.
And goodbye to our favourite engineer, Mr. Kulu.